Today on Family Talk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, along with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. And today, Doctor, we have a great program ahead of us. I'm very, very interested and excited to hear what our guest has to say. I know that he is a distinguished medical professional and a good friend of yours. Is that right?
He certainly is. And you are with us by phone today, Dr. Meeker, and I want you to meet this friend of mine, Dr. Richard Furman, who is a vascular surgeon and, as you said, a very distinguished physician. He's here with us at Family Talk here in Colorado Springs, and Ryan, of course, is speaking someplace today. So I would like you to greet Dr. Furman. You all have not met face-to-face, but say hello to each other, will you?
Dr. Furman, welcome, and thank you for being with us.
Dr. Meeker, I appreciate you having me.
She talked about me being a best-selling author. I can tell you that Dr. Meeker is also a best-selling author, and she has written some very good books for the family. Dr. Furman is the past president of the North Carolina chapter of the American College of Surgeons. He's also a two-term governor. I don't know the use of that word there. The two-term governor of the American College of Surgeons. Even more significant is that Dr. Furman is the co-founder of the World Medical Mission, which is the medical arm of the Samaritan's Purse organization, and he's a board member also. And in fact, I went there to Samaritan's Purse, I guess a year and a half ago, and time goes by so fast. I went there to speak to physicians who had been brought together by Samaritan's Purse, and that was at the Cove in North Carolina. And I sat beside Dr. Furman at a banquet associated with that, and that's where we met. And our friendship has continued by email. I really have great respect for this man. He's written a book that we're going to talk about today. But before we do that, Dr. Furman, you are friends with Dr. Kent Brantley.
Right.
And he is also part of the Samaritan's Purse physician arm. And our listeners are going to be very interested to know that he went to West Africa to help with the Ebola crisis.
Right.
And he contracted the disease. So he's the physician that right. came home and was quarantined, and you are a friend of his.
Well, a friend, but even more so just a year and a half ago, we send post-residents, doctors that have just finished their residency, to the mission field for 2 years if they feel called for full-time ministry. Mm. Kent Brantley was one of those that we sent over there, and he was there for less than a year when he did contract Ebola. Kent Brantley came to Samaritan's Purse in Boone, North Carolina, to thank Samaritan's Purse. We had a big luncheon and all. Before the luncheon, Franklin looked at Kent and said, "You realize that you're the cause of the most one difficult week of my life." That's when all of this was going on. Dr. Brantley looked at him and said, "Well, my week wasn't much better." But anyway, Dr. Brantley is recovering. The Lord will continue to use him. I don't know if he'll go back to Liberia or just where, but he'll continue being a doctor for the Lord.
Mm. Are there other physicians from Samaritan's Purse or associated with it who are still going there? Are there people who put themselves at risk that way and are willing to go?
Yes, we have closed the clinic part of Elwha Hospital there in Liberia because of the situation with Dr. Brantley, but we just sent an airplane full of supplies to Liberia to help set up clinics to to fight the disease.
It takes a lot of courage to do that, doesn't it?
It does. It does. It's when Franklin Graham and I were in Alaska when this came out, that Kent Brantley has Ebola, and his heart rate had skyrocketed. His breathing was up to 30 to 35 breaths a minute. His temperature spiked, and we were told he'd probably die in a few hours. And that's when we gave him ZMAP and got him back to America, and you know the rest of the story.
I do.
But he says God saved him. Kent Brantley's story of how the Lord worked is very almost unbelievable. How that ZMAP was offered to that doctor in Sierra Leone.
Hey, explain that for those who don't know.
Okay, yeah. There was a company here in America that had developed this serum. It had just been worked on with apes and monkeys. No human had ever taken it, but it was so bad, episode over there, they sent it to Sierra Leone for this doctor, the most famous doctor there. Mm-hmm. Taken care of over 100 Ebola patients. And they offered that to them. Doctors Without Borders said they didn't think they ought to give it to him because it had never been tried on humans. And if he died, then it could have been from the serum. Well, at the same time as when Kent Brantley now is not in Sierra Leone, but he's in Liberia, there was someone who knew that we had somebody in Liberia. We started getting that medicine was offered then to us at Samaritan's Purse. It went in a taxi cab. It went across the river in a canoe. And then Samaritan's Purse plane picked it up. We didn't orchestrate it.
Wow.
It was all came to us. And that's why I say you have to see the hand of God in getting that medicine there. And that's how we ended up with it. And that's how the timing of it was so perfect. The plane that came to pick up Kent Brantley, it's unbelievable. It was delayed almost a day because it had pressure problems. It had to go back to the U.S. But if it had made it on time, Kent Brantley would have been in that plane when he had all of this episode. He would not have made it. So the timing of the Lord is unbelievable.
He got the medication before he came back.
He got the medication before he came back. When he started to get it, like I said, we thought he would die within a few hours. But within 2 hours, he quit the convulsive episodes. His temperature started down. His breathing became normal. And he actually was able to get out of the bed to go to the restroom. First time he'd been able to move like that in days. So there within an hour, that medicine had done something.
Oh, my. Well, thank Franklin Graham for us and for so many other millions of Christians and others in this country who appreciate what's being done there, even at personal risk. And you know a lot of those people. Please give them our prayers and our love. Dr. Furman has written this book entitled Prescription for Life, Three Simple Strategies to Live Younger, Longer. And it's just loaded with information. And we'll start with this. You say in this book, there are six foods which people should never eat again. That's pretty dramatic. What are they? And be careful because it might be something I like.
Yeah. The whole list is what I like.
Yeah. Well, some of those are my favorites, so I'll get into that. But I'd like to explain why I make that statement. And when you understand the reason I make that statement, it'll get easier and easier to not eat those favorite foods. You have to realize that cholesterol is what gets into the arteries. The food that we eat is where we get the lethal, the LDL cholesterol. There was an article written, published, that showed they took total cholesterol, the ones who had the highest total cholesterol versus the ones who had the lowest total cholesterol, and there was an 8.7-year life expectancy difference. So this is medical. This is medical, and that's the extreme. That's taking the highest, the lowest, but at least it rings the bell that, hey, this there's something about this total cholesterol deal. Now, everyone needs to that's listening needs to have their cholesterol done. The total cholesterol is divided into the LDL, which is the bad, lethal LDL cholesterol, and the good, or the hero, HDL cholesterol. Think of the LDL as being like a splinter floating around in your blood. You stick a splinter in your finger, one of two things happens. It gets inflamed and it swells and bursts open, or it heals with scar. That's the same thing that's happening in the walls of your arteries. The HDL, and there are some good fats that increase the HDL, but the HDL is like a little patrol car going around, and it'll pick these splinters up, put them in the car, three or four of them at a time, take them to the jail, which is the liver, dispose of them, and go back and get more. So you need to get the HDL as high as possible, and we'll get into that, how to do those things. But that gets us to these six foods, and we won't have time to go into all six. You can go to prescriptionforlife.com, and it has those on there. But I will tell you, the one food that has the most saturated fat in it in the U.S.
This is going to surprise some people.
Yep.
It is. But the one food that we eat the most of that produces the most of those splinters was my favorite food for years as a doctor. Cheese.
Yeah.
And I read that article that I could not believe it. I mean, I like cheese so much. All my patients knew that was my favorite food they brought. That's what I had for Christmas, a whole table full of cheese balls.
And
but reading that article, I said, you know, I want quality life. The last 10 or 15 years of my life, I don't want to be drooling, sitting in a chair, staring ahead. Plus, I want the quality of years now, and I realize that the food that we ate caused those splinters to be floating around, and that the health of our arteries was a determining factor of the aging process.
So you're not just talking about living longer. You're talking about living a higher quality life for a longer period
exactly.
of time.
Exactly. Forget about living longer. Just forget that. You want the quality of those last years to be great, but you want the quality of your years now to be great. You can move your physiological age back 7 to 12 years. I've got a good friend that does this prescription for life. He's 87 years old. He was a missionary doctor. He plays tennis twice a week, and he jogs 3 times a week. That's the way I want to be when I get to be 87. But it is about the quality of life now, not just adding years to your life.
Why do you think cheese is so bad? Why is it first on your list?
Well, the cheese is not so bad. It just happens that we eat so much of it.
Yeah.
It's the total amount. If you order an egg white omelet at a restaurant, odds are they're going to bring it to you with cheese in
cheese.
It.
Cheese.
And there's just cheese and everything. That's just where we get where Americans get the most of the saturated fat that causes the most of the LDL to go up.
Is it any specific type of cheese, or is it all cheeses? Is it processed cheese, or just even the really good aged cheese from Vermont? Is that bad too?
Now, I'm surprised you didn't say, well, what about low-fat cheese?
But
here's the problem. Food is an addiction, and you've got to treat it as an addiction. You have to realize that you treat addiction by desire. You've got to get the desire out of your mind, out of wanting it. And so you take these special kind of cheeses or low-fat cheese or whatever, and you eat those. Well, it's like you smoke and you're going to cut down to lower nicotine cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
You're still, a year from now, you're going to be smoking your regular cigarette no matter what. So maybe what I'm saying is you've got to cut the desire out. It's addiction. It takes about 8 weeks. It's a hard 8 weeks. But you get that out of your system, then it's not nearly as hard to not eat the cheese. And then the more you read of Prescription for Life, you realize, hey, this is what's going to cause the quality of my life to be terrible my last 10 years or so. And this is what's going to keep my quality of life from being great right now. It gets easier and easier to just say, hey, I'm not going to.
You have a lot of people in Wisconsin that are mad at you right now.
They can still sell it. There'll be many, many who will not heed this warning. So it won't affect them that much.
The second on your list is ice cream. Now, I could give up cheese long before I could give up ice cream. Same problem there? Is it just the high fat content, high saturated fat?
It is exactly that. It's the better ice creams are 28% butterfat.
Mm.
And you read in Scripture Life about even going to fat-free yogurt. You've got to wait at least the 8 weeks before you transfer over to that, because ice cream was my second favorite food. Mm-hmm. And I started reading about the fat in the ice cream, how it affects your arteries, how these little splinters are going to get in there, and it's going to happen. I decided to quit eating ice cream, and I thought, well, I'll just start eating yogurt. So I started that, and but I still had the desire for the ice cream. So I realized, mm-hmm. okay, I'm not going to eat either for 2 months. Then I'll never eat ice cream again, but I can eat yogurt whenever I want to. So that's the idea.
So when you're talking about getting rid of that desire, you're essentially saying don't eat that food group. Don't eat the cheese.
Exactly.
Don't eat the ice cream for a full 8 weeks, and our desire to have it will go away. Is that right?
It won't go away, but it'll taper a whole lot. It'll be a lot easier. And now, but maybe the important part is while you're doing this, reread Prescription for Life, because the second time through, you're going to say, hey, I don't want to have a heart attack. I don't want to have a stroke. I don't want to end up with dementia, and it does affect that. And it gets easier to say, okay, I'm not going to eat that. I'm going to eat something else.
Mm-hmm.
So ice cream causes problems the same way cheese does, because both of them have a lot of saturated fat in them.
That's exactly right.
And that is the culprit in many things, including some red meat, right?
Exactly. And actually, the red meat is probably number two on the bad list. But again, and Meg, this goes back, well, what about grass-fed beef? Or what about lean beef?
Yes.
Again, you're not getting rid of the desire for it if you're going to eat, quote, red meat that's a little leaner than the other. You're still going to have desire, and then you're somewhere you're going to eat the regular meat. So you have to break the desire. But I can promise you, after you realize what it does to you, it'll get easier and easier where you won't have to have a gun put to your head to eat it, but you just won't want it.
Won't
want it. Now, I still eat when we're in Alaska. That's about all they have there that week I'm there. They'll fix me some grilled chicken. But when they run out of that, I'll have to eat a half of a steak or something like that. I'm not saying you're fanatical that you'll never, ever eat any of this again. But you need to change your eating habits, your eating lifestyle.
You know, I understand this because it has been 24 years since I had a heart attack, and I had a serious one. I had a total blockage of the left anterior descending.
The Widowmaker.
The Widowmaker, and I should have died, because that interferes with the electrical impulses to the heart and a lot of other things, and then starves the lower part of the heart from getting the oxygen that it needs. So I lay there in the hospital, and I said to the Lord, I've messed this up. I've done this myself. Mm-hmm. And you give me another chance, and I will do better. And I did. I mean, I made a radical change.
Great.
I didn't play with it. I mean,
how many years ago?
That was 24 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And look at you now.
And I have really been good about that. Now, I've got some other vices that you know about. I'm a donut freak. And
well, so, until today.
Until today.
Figured out how to get that.
Right. But it is possible. And I love to eat. I really do. And I love to eat a lot of the things that are on your list here. But it was life or death for me.
Right.
And I knew it. And I felt a spiritual obligation to clean up my act there.
That's a great point. I think, too, I didn't have a heart attack. And I've never really had a weight problem. I sort of lived with this belief that I just eat a little bit of everything and it'll be okay because I just don't want to think about food that much. But I can honestly say, and you'll appreciate this, Dr. Furman, during my residency, I really developed a candy addiction. Mm-hmm. And a while back, I thought from a spiritual standpoint, it's really not okay to have something that's in charge of me. I didn't like this craving for sugar to have a hold on me.
That's a very good point, and I had this similar discussion with Dr. David Jeremiah, who wrote the foreword to Prescription for Life, many years ago, that he needed to keep his physical body in as good a shape as possible so mm-hmm. he could continue the Lord's work. That's your platform.
Yes.
To be able to continue his work longer. And yes. he's been a great example of, he's right
he sure
in the middle
is.
Of it now.
Yeah. Sure is. So the sugar is a problem because you get more overweight, and in so doing, your blood pressure goes up.
Right.
And it comes at you from another direction.
From other direction. Mm-hmm. There are three lifestyles that you can control: the food that you eat, your weight, and exercise. And they're all intermingled. They're all intertwined. One depends on the other. And that's why in Prescription for Life, I emphasize that you don't just pick one or the other. All three have to work together. And to focus on doing what you can control. And that's the name of it.
Yeah.
I like that. And you talk about in those three strategies. Well, maybe before we go to that, I'm just going to quickly run through the list of bad foods. Because if I were listening to the program and didn't have this in front of me, I'd think, what are the other ones besides cheese and ice cream? Salad dressing.
What if you don't want to know? That's the question.
Well, maybe I shouldn't read them.
Yeah.
But they're really the high-fat foods, butter and margarine, whole milk, fried foods, chips that aren't baked, bacon and sausage, egg yolks, packaged snacks, cream-based sauces. And those are the foods to avoid. But what I do love about Prescription for Life is that then you say, okay, eat the right foods. And those are fiber, fruit, vegetables, leafy greens, pasta, and grilled fish or chicken. When
right.
you talk about fiber, what exactly are you talking about?
Okay. In Prescription for Life, we go through each meal. You need to set up a platform for each meal that you do for 6 weeks, 8 weeks. Then you can add and subtract to that, but the whole grains, breakfast is a great time for that. You can get fiber in cereal. You can get three or four of your fruits, five fruits for the day. You can get that at breakfast. But the idea is that fiber, first of all, it helps the with the colon and with digestion, but it also helps fill you up with the least number of calories. So you don't have to be real smart to figure out, well, if I can feel full with the least amount of calories, why don't I just eat that food and I'm going to start losing weight? And that's exactly what we'll do. And the fruit and vegetables do that better than anything else.
Well, Dr. Furman and Dr. Meeker, this program has gone very, very fast. I just looked up at the clock and the time is gone. And yet there's so much here. We could really talk about this on and on because mm-hmm. all of us have to eat. I mean, you can't stay alive if you don't eat. You don't have to smoke. You don't have to drink. So if you have an addiction to those substances, you can avoid them. You just don't get involved with them. But you still have to eat, which means we've got to deal with the kind of issues that you write about in this book. It's called Prescription for Life, Three Simple Strategies to Live Younger and Longer. by Dr. Richard Furman, a vascular surgeon and a man who genuinely loves the Lord. Appreciate your being here, but like I said, we've got more to talk about. We'll do it next time, okay?
Great. That'll be good.
Thank you. And for those of you who would like more information about Dr. Richard Furman or Samaritan's Purse, please visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you again next time for the conclusion of The Prescription for a Healthy Life on the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.